You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, we're doing a lot of year-end wraps and looks ahead to the offseason this week, but your team had some in-the-now news. There had been hope and hope and hope that Giancarlo Stanton would come back and at least get some at-bats before the year was out. That is now not going to happen. What was kind of the tipping point? What led them to just say, you know what, we'll get back after this next year?
Yeah, I think the key, Matthew, was last week, not this week, the final homestand. You know, the fact that, you know, he didn't even, you know, take batting practice or even test it in the cages because the hand kept bothering him. And it just kind of seemed like if he wasn't going to play in the homestand, the final six road games kind of seemed like an out. But in the final home game on Sunday against Atlanta, Stanton kind of told the reporters, he's like, hey, I anticipate going on the road. The team was off on Monday, open Tuesday in Tampa. Stanton wasn't on the trip. And even then, some people are saying, well, he might meet the team in Philly over the weekend. But by that point, Dan Jennings just kind of said, that's it. You know, we come to the conclusion. It kind of left it in Giancarlo's hands, he could make the call. They weren't pressuring him. He was measuring the difficulty of gripping the bat, just the lack of strength he felt overall in the hand. And apparently, Matthew, at root here is the scar tissue. He had an abnormally amount of it. It was also, the way his tendon wrapped around that hamate bone. It kind of created some discomfort when they kind of put everything together. Everyone's saying he should be fine for spring training, but, he missed 3 months on an injury many thought would be 4 to 6 weeks. So, it's going to be very interesting to see where he is. And obviously, when you take an MVP caliber player out of your lineup for more than 3 months, your season isn't going to look as nice as you kind of were hoping. So, there will be a lot of watching, Stanton. Obviously, there was a hope to at least see how the hand would respond to a few games, if nothing more, and that just didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the big question to me. The club obviously is going to say, look, we're really optimistic, and I'm sure they are, and I'm sure Stanton is really optimistic. But wrists, as I'm sure we've talked about, as one of those things that just is true, is wrists and hitters are scary. It's a little like shoulders and pitchers. It's just that thing you never want to hear, particularly for a power hitter. Is there, in your mind, any level of concern or uncertainty as to what Stanton's going to be at the beginning of next year?
Yeah, and I think we'll have some answers in the offseason, Matthew, based on if he goes back. When we were in New York a couple of weeks back, he went and saw a hand specialist the day after he took batting practice on the field at Citi Field, and that, to my knowledge, I think that was the last time he took BP on the field. And if he goes back to the hand specialist, or if anything in the surgical procedure wasn't just right, that could be a concern if they have to go back in. Now, everyone's saying that's not the case, but, time's going to tell whether or not there's a little more complication in there than just merely scar tissue and an awkward placement of a tendon and dealing with that. So, something I think we probably should get some answers, certainly by the GM meetings in November. And, just hope that, for Stanton's case, the league's case, Marlins and all their fans' case, that there's nothing more to this than just a scar tissue issue and, just the slower recovery than anticipated.
With all of that said, it's very clear that Marlins will be writing in pen Giancarlo Stanton into their lineup from opening day next year. And I think probably we have a pretty good idea of most of what the 2016 lineup is going to look like. They could certainly make a move or two. There are some things that could happen. But by and large, we've talked about Marcell Ozuna, but by and large, I don't get the impression there's sort of major surgery to be done on the lineup. It seems a little less clear as to what they do about the rotation. You've talked to and written and tweeted about going after kind of a dependable veteran, not a top-end guy, but somebody to provide innings. What does that rotation look like? You certainly got Fernandez. You'd have to think Cosart. They'll hope for Alvarez, but I certainly don't think you can assume anything. And then a lot of guys. Who knows about Kohler, a lot of the kids. What does that rotation look like beyond Fernandez and Cosart next year?
Matthew, it's interesting you mentioned that. And I'll tell you, as of this date, when we're talking, you know, with just a handful of games to go, they pretty much are assuming Jose Fernandez will be the opening day starter and Tom Kohler will be the fifth starter. And Jared Cosart will vector somewhere in between. They are hopeful that Henderson Alvarez, who had shoulder surgery a couple months ago, should be fine for the start of spring training, but they're not banking on it. So they're not going into the offseason saying, look, you know, let's hope he's really good and he could be our number two. So they clearly are going to have to go look outside, you know, for something else. Pleasant surprise, Adam Connolly. Matthew, very, very strong in September, and you know, a pitcher who was a number two pick several years ago, who never really kind of flourished, but kind of stepped forward this year. He's, you know, showing missed bat stuff, striking guys out. He's a guy that could be a sleeper to make a rotation. Nicolino, as we talked about before, not an overpowering guy, but pure pitch ability. A lot of people like him as a number four type of guy. He'll factor in, but, you know, so basically on staff now, you would probably just go, as we're talking about, Jose, Kohler, Cosart, Nicolino, and Connolly. That said, they really feel that they need to get a frontline starter somehow, whether they try to pull up a trade for James Shields, a guy that made a play for in spring in the free agency last year, or, you know, they need to make a trade. Now, you know, we've talked about they don't have a ton of trade pieces. Obviously, things can get done. So, you know, I think in a perfect world, they get Mike Leake. They'd love that. I don't know if they could swing that, you know, based on where they are. But I think they're going to – payroll, all indications are, is going to go up, you know, a bit, you know, to a little more competitive level. And, you know, they're going to have to throw those resources at a free agent, just hope somebody wants to come here. You know, obviously it's a team that, you know, it's not treated free agents very kindly, and they got to deal with a stigma. But, you know, if they kind of keep the core intact, which I anticipate they will, kind of sell it on, you still got a Stanton and Jose, an attractive place to come play, that maybe they could get a leak or somebody like that. And then I think on the flip side, and I'm not sure you're getting there in this podcast, but I think they're going to go all out for a closer. So I think those are kind of what they're going to look for. You know, if they could swing a Aroldis Chapman, it would be their perfect offseason. You know, so whether they can, you know, aim that high, pay that much for a closer, I think that's what you're kind of looking at right now.
So I may have been underselling here because I was sort of talking about a league average inning eater kind of guy. And while I think it's fair to say they won't be going after David Price, you're saying maybe more like a number two kind of guy is what they'd like to get.
Correct.
Than just somebody who can sort of be steady and give innings. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. And someone that just, you know, that you could line up Jose and whoever that is against DeGrom and Harvey, you know, that against Scherzer and Strasburg. You know, that's what they're looking for, to go toe-to-toe there. And, you know, so who that guy is, that's, you know, going to be their big plan. And probably outside, I think we talked about this, I think the manager is going to be the number one move they make, because that whoever it is going to really have the responsibility of making sure the culture and everyone's on the same page and all buying in. And then, you know, however they can strengthen that rotation, preferably, you know, a 2-3 caliber guy to make it a little bit more formidable rotation.
Within the offense, are they still looking for a first baseman, or do they think maybe they found one?
I think they feel they got at least 75% of one. You know, Justin Bour, what, 22, 23 homers, he's going to get 80 RBIs. Not bad for a guy who didn't really step in until, you know, late April, early May. But, you know, I think, you know, they don't want to get too carried away, you know, and you know, just completely hand him the job. So I anticipate, you know, looking for a right-handed complement, you know, preferably someone with a little bit of power, someone that could push Bour to, you know, stay motivated and not feel like, you know, he could be complacent, and someone obviously that could hit left-handed pitching. So, you know, that's going to be real interesting. But, you know, the lineup, if he's looking like he is, now suddenly you got a cleanup hitter behind Stanton, and, you know, whether Prado slides down to 5 or 6, your lineup is a lot longer, and it could be a pretty decent lineup next year.
And that leaves the one question, which is Ozuna. A lot can change and a lot can happen, but what's your read? Is Ozuna on the roster opening day 2016?
Yeah, he's a guy that they're going to do a lot of talking about because he fell out of favor based on, you know, not necessarily performance, although his performance did suffer, but who represents him, and Scott Boras and the comments that he's made, and, you know, Ozuna didn't help his standing with the organization with his getting out of jail comments and Instagrams when he was, you know, brought back from AAA. But at the end of the day, here's a talented player who's, what, 24, he's going to turn 25 in the offseason, who hit 23 homers last year, down year this year. I think teams will sit around, a bunch of teams would want him, but they're probably going to say, look, he hit 10 homers this year. You know, is that what we're buying, or are we buying 20? So I don't know if they're going to get the return. I think, you know, the Ozuna for a frontline starter, I'm not sure they're going to be able to pull that off. So Marcel's very popular with his teammates, and I know they'd love to have him back and just kind of say, don't quit on the kid too early. And I think that might be how it plays out. If it isn't, that means resentment, maybe personal feelings took it to another level and they felt they needed to unload him. But, you know, also if they get creative with a trade and package him with some other people, and it depends what the return is, you know, they could do something there. But, you know, I think the lineup right now is looking like we were talking about with Marcel still in it.
All right, well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.